Did you know that every year there's a collection made of names, boys' names and girls' names, and these are the most popular baby names of that year? For example, last year, the most popular boys' names were Liam and Noah, and the most popular girls' names were Emma and Olivia. The same was true also for the year before that, Liam and Noah and Olivia and Emma. But 2 years ago, it was slightly different. The boys' names were the same again with Liam and Noah, but then it was Emma and Sophia were the two popular names of that year, back in 2013. How many of you share the same first name as many children born the same year that you were born? I know when I graduated high school, there were at least 7 Joshes. And granted, we may not have all been from 1984, but we were around that same year. And when I entered into the seminary, there were at least 9 Joshuas, myself included. So we can see that there's popularity when it comes to names. Some are more popular and some are less well used. Some are used quite repeatedly and some are more dramatic, such as Northwest. But no matter how frequently or how rarely a name is used, most likely a name would not be given in the negative. After all, what kind of self-esteem would a child have who has the name No Mercy? Or You Are Not My People? Or what if the child were named Forsaken or Desolate? Can you imagine that? What if that was your name? Can you imagine every time somebody new came up to you and met you and exchanged names with you, you would have to say, "My name is No Mercy, what's your name?" Or, "My name is Forsaken, what's your name?" Or for you parents, can you imagine naming your child that? It seems unlikely that anyone would ever purposely name their child one of those names. And yet, an individual was commanded to do just that in the book of Hosea. The man Hosea was commanded to do that in the Old Testament, around 740 B.C., which is the same time as our Old Testament text for this morning, Isaiah. It also was written around 740 B.C. So we'll keep in mind this morning as we're meditating on the text, what it also says in Hosea, and also keeping in mind the children of today. Isaiah begins by telling the Israelites of a coming good news, one which would be for Jerusalem, for the people of Zion. And it is such good news, he can't keep it in. He cannot remain silent. He must speak it. It is such good news. So what is this good news? Well, as I shared with the children a few minutes ago, they were receiving a new name. They shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. By itself, that passage begs the question, well, what were they called before? And for that answer, we turn, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to the book of Hosea. Hosea was married and about to have a boy child when the Lord came to him about the sin of Israel. The Lord said to him about his son, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel." Hosea's wife then had a daughter, and once again the Lord came to him and said to him, "Call her name No Mercy, for I will have no more mercy on the house of Israel." And it happened even a third time. Hosea's wife was going to have a boy child, and the Lord came once again to command him what to name the child. "Call his name Not My People, for You are not My people, and I am not your God." When the people of Israel continued in sin, God was not pleased. He was so unhappy, he decided to have children named these very names to show just how upset he was at their sin. So even though Jerusalem and Zion's names didn't change, they might as well have. Hear these words and take them to heart, dear friends in Christ. God does not condone sin. When the people of this nation turn away from God, opting not to choose life, do not follow after them. Follow God's word. Follow God's word, which talks about love for all people. Not just people in the Middle Ages, not just children and teenagers and adults, but even the elderly, even children, even the children who are not yet born. God is the creator of all life and therefore has the right to say what happens with it. And we were made in the image of God. We were made in His very image. And in that way, our image, His image in us, is sanctified. It makes us set apart. It makes us holy and for God's use. It makes us beautiful in His eyes. Well, granted, we fell in Genesis chapter 3 and we lost that image, but we had it originally. And for that reason, we should not snuff out human life. As for the lost image of God, Isaiah has some words of encouragement and consolation as we continue through his text. To the Israelites who would believe God's word, Isaiah wrote, "You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate." In spite of the sinful rebellion of humanity, time and again, God remained faithful. God promised the Israelites through Isaiah and Hosea that there would be a time coming of great trouble, the Babylonian captivity. But God also promised that He would be with them through that captivity, and that there would be an end to it, a time when they could return back to Jerusalem, back to the promised land. When that happened, all who trusted His word would no longer be called forsaken, and the promised land would no longer be called desolate, for the people of Israel would be able to return and rebuild. How does this good news apply to us, then? Are we in a time of faith, or are we in a time of rebellion? The argument could probably most easily be made for being in a time of rebellion, especially considering how children and elderly who cannot speak for themselves are being put to death. Rather than listening to the word of God, many in our society go after their itching ears and after their own reason, reason which does not start in the word of God. Does God's word of promise apply to them, then? Not if they continue in their sin. Just as Hosea named his child, "Not my people," to show that the Israelites would be called not God's people if they continued in their sin, so also the people today need to turn back to faith. If they do not, they will be termed not my people. The promise of a new name is for those who trust the Lord's word, the word of the one who would come to give us that new name, the Lord Jesus Christ. As for our land, whether it will be called desolate or whether it will be called fruitful remains to be seen. But whether the United States dies or continues, we continue to have the promises of God. We know that God's word of promise, that new name He had for the Israelites, also applies to us, to you. It applies to you, and you shall no longer be called "No Mercy" or "Not my people," but "My delight is in you." Isaiah related the new name to the future of the Israelites. He wrote them down for the middle-aged people of the Israelites, but not just them, but for their elderly. And not just for their elderly, but for their children. And not just for their children, but for their children who had not yet even been born. All of them would be called, "My delight is in you." He would have as much delight in them as a groom has for his bride. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Now, this seems like a very peculiar place to go from talking about names and children being born and new names to then talking about marriage. How does that work? How does that apply? Well, something happens in a marriage that also happens when a child is born. A new name is given. A wife receives the name of her groom. Through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, the true God, God in human flesh for you, that we are learning about this Epiphany season, God has made you His bride through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. For any trespass you have made against the sanctity of life, for any failure to love your children as you should, for any lack of love toward your spouse, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and paid for that sin. You bear it no more. It is forgiven. It has been taken away. Now, it remains to be seen what the Lord will cause to have happen in our nation. But what does not remain to be seen is what happens for you. God has looked on your sinful estate and sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. Your sin has been taken away, and you have received a new name. You have received the name of your groom, Christ, or Christian, which is just the same as saying, God's delight is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.